Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program, which we affectionately call Satsang, is being recorded for October 14th, 2017, and I am very grateful that you chose to be with me as we take a look at, well, some skepticism that people have about God. We'll take a look at it. I want to remind you that this radio program is supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gifts. Without your kind contributions, this radio program could not exist. It could not be here to serve humankind. And it is only because of you that it does exist and serves humankind. And I want to thank those of you who are my sponsors who make this all happen. And how kind you all are for helping me pay for airtime. We are in our fall fundraising drive, which goes until January 4th or 5th, something in there. And our mystery donor is matching donations right now until that time. And I hope that you will avail yourself of this very precious time of making this happen. We need your support. We need your help. We need your contributions, because without them, there's no way to make all of this happen. And our mystery donor will match. So if you become a sponsor, let's say, and you do $25 a month, he will add $25 to that. And if you choose to do the quarterly gift, whatever quarterly gift you give, he will choose to match that. So please understand how important this is in the survival of Aspire. And your contributions go far further than just radio. They help us make TV programs, which you can see on our website at aspire.org. It helps me go to hospice and work there three times a week, which I do. I don't get paid for any of that. All of this is due to your support. So please help us. Please be kind. Please be generous and help us. It would mean a great deal. If you're interested, go to the website at aspire.org, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. And when you get there, you will see in the middle of the page, support. If you click on that, a submenu will come down and it will explain to you all about Aspire, why it is important, where your money goes, your tax deductible gift, all of the goodies you get for being a sponsor, the message of the month, and access to over 200 discourses that I've done over the years for TV. It's all there. You get the commentaries, the podcasts, the video casts, all of this for your contribution. I hope that you will help us. We need your support, and we need it now. Well, I get these emails from time to time, and I don't know why I get them, because I don't talk religion. So it always boggles me as to why people email me this stuff. I don't understand it. I don't think you're paying attention. If you were, I probably wouldn't get these emails. So maybe this is a way of helping you understand where I'm coming from and maybe getting different kind of emails. First one comes from Kevin in Vegas. He says, I'm a skeptic of people like you, Greg. Can you prove to me the existence of God, Kevin? Well, Kevin, which God do you want me to prove to you? And I've never talked about God in a way in which religion does. So I don't know which God you want me to do. The biblical God, the one that everybody personally thinks exists, or the one that maybe I allude to in certain situations. I don't know which one you want. I'm sure that what you're really talking about, and I could be wrong here again, so forgive me, is the God of the Bible, you know, that kind of guy. I am not a Bible God guy. I'm just not. I never bought it when I was a kid. It never made sense to me what a schizophrenic maniac he was or is or whatever. I never bought into it. And when I went into seminary, I wrote papers about this, got, you know, hornwaggled for saying the things I said. But nonetheless, unless the nun, it is the way it is. I do not have any sense that there is some man with a long beard and white hair floating in the clouds somewhere causing all this ruckus. And if he is, then who the hell cares about what he's about? I don't have that sense. I don't need some patriarch over my head telling me what to do and creating my life situations. It doesn't work like that at all, not even remotely. So I don't go there. I don't go there. For many, many years, I talked about God to please my audiences, to placate them, as it were, to try to relate to them through what it was I was trying to say in their language. Kevin, I have a very difficult job. Believe me, I do. And the job is difficult because I have to say and teach things in a language and in a phraseology, in a psychological framework that people can understand. So a lot of my message is easily misinterpreted, and I get it. I understand why. I get the whole thing. But less than none and nonetheless, it is my job. And I am never going to please everyone about everything that I teach. Because I may be teaching, let's say, about what I'm doing right now with you about God on level one, let's say. And the level underneath level one won't like that at all. They'll look at it and go, why is he's saying all this? He's a blah, 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 blah. Now, the level two, three, and four might be going, that's interesting. But I'm never going to please them either. I'm not here to please you. I am here to offer you the alternative to your conventional thinking, to the pedestrian mentality that boggles all of us and creates the mischief that it does. So try to understand something. I am here to offer you an alternative to conventional thinking. I'm not here to add to it. To say to you there is no God is conventional thinking. Okay? It just is. It's mediocre. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help the world. It doesn't help anything. But I am saying there is no God like the one you and I would like to believe there is, where he sits in some cloud somewhere and runs the universe. It just doesn't work like that. There is far more to this life experience than what I can believe in and you can believe in. The true God that people are looking for does not exist. They want a man with a purpose and a plan. And there is none. And no matter how people want to hear it or see it or understand it or believe it, it does not exist. Not as we would like it to. So there you are. That's really what you wanted to hear, and I'm giving it to you. There is something deep inside that is something other than all of that. And I want to say this to you, Kevin. It's very, very important. And I hope I'm able to get this over to you. God is the direct experience. That's it. You either have it or you don't. And once you've had it, everything changes. There's no need for the hate and the fear and the anger and the hostility and all of the other stuff that people go through and tend to build in their life. There just is no need for it. So you start to see things in the light of what it means to truly let love live you. I like what Jesus said, and I do feel it is true because it is my direct experience. God is love, and that is it. And no matter what kind of crumb bum I've been in my life or you've been in your life, that principle exists, and it is not a personal one. It is a direct experience, and once it is realized, everything changes. You start to feel that transition inside of yourself, and you feel elevated. And the emotions and the thoughts and the passions and the whatevers just simply do not exist. They're not important anymore. And once that is totally realized and understood, Kevin, there's no need to position myself in an argument with you. The kind of biblical God that everybody is prone to and likes to believe in is not the one I work with. It's not the one I've experienced, to be honest with you. So I just can't go there. Kevin, thank you for your beautiful question, and please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Lindsay. She does not tell me where she lives. What are you basically teaching about God? I don't get it. You hardly mention the word. Are you afraid, Lindsay? Oh, am I afraid? Am I afraid of saying to you what the truth is about it all? I could hardly be afraid of that. Most of what I teach about God is what I don't say about God. And if you can understand the meaning of that phrase, then you understand I've been teaching it all the time. You can't teach God. You can't. You can't teach love either. It's just not possible. The things that can be taught are things that are rudimentary to our ego, our vanity, and our pride. That's just about all it is. And when you and I are living in the rudimentary things of life, the rudimentary ideas, the folderol of conventional thinking, that's as far as we go. We don't get much further. We don't do much better in our life in the sense of awakening. So how many people do you know that are interested in spiritual awakening, in awakening to God? Lindsay, are you one of them? I don't know. I don't see you here with me working on yourself. People who say that they're working on themselves and aren't, because they're not here. And I know what you're saying. Well, you're not the only one. Well, how do you know? How do you really know? How do you know what I'm teaching? You don't seem to understand what I'm teaching here on radio, or as you mentioned in my TV programs. Because I don't talk a lot about what you want to hear to reassure you that you're right. So are you listening to me to be reassured of how your righteousness is, how set you are in your righteousness? Oh, I know God. I know Jesus. Is that as far as it goes? Because this is what you've been taught. This is what your pedestrian thinking can hold. For a little while, it's like a sieve. That's why people have to be reassured all the time in church that there is a God, because common sense tells you, you look around at what's going on in this world and the nuttiness of it all, and you look at it and you go, well, who's in charge here? Because whoever it is isn't doing a very good job. I mean, we have problems at the basic root level. We can hardly contain ourselves for the most part. So this idea of, you know, basically me teaching nothing about God and am I afraid to teach it is, well, it's absurd. You're not paying attention, Lindsay. Come on. I'm better than that. You look deep inside. I've talked to you on TV and on radio about the nature of this whole thing called life. You need to read, Lindsay, You need to read Sapiens, and you need to read Homo Deus, and you need to get those two books. You can get them off Amazon, and you need to get with it. You really do. You need to upscale yourself a little bit. The teachings that, or the findings, I should say, not teachings, the findings that are contained in those two books will explain it all to you. Okay? There's no proof of our creation the way the Bible teaches it. There's none, no scientific, none. You would not buy a home. And maybe you do own a home, but you would never have bought a home based on the same logic and reasoning of the Bible and how they came up with the idea of God. You wouldn't have done it. God is not logical. God is not even reasonable. And the biblical God is crazier than humankind itself, which lends us to the idea that if we're created in the image and likeness of this character, we're in trouble. It makes everything make sense, how divided we are. That means if I'm the image and likeness of God and I have all of this free will to do whatever I want, which is a terrible mistake on God's part, he must be a racist too, just like people are in this world. He must be a fascist, just like our leaders are. Don't get caught up in this craziness. Lindsay, God is love. Just what I said to Kevin. God is love. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. God is love. Now, how do you deal with that? Like I said, you can't teach love. You catch love. Love is the divine disease of life, the highest nature of our being. It's the what we used to call in the ashram the Buddha disease. You catch it. It's infectious. It's kind. It's loving. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So there you are. Lindsay, what am I basically teaching about God? Nothing. I can't teach God. No one can. Jesus tried to teach it through parables, and they were beautiful parables. He tried to teach us about our psychology even in parables, and they were beautiful parables. So I don't know what you think you're doing with your life, but I'm not here to reassure you of the Old Testament God. I'm really not. And I'm not here to support the quote-unquote New Testament God that people believe in. There is this principle of life, this principle of love that permeates the universe. It's an order. It's an intelligence. It is a state of being. It is not a willful God and a willful man with a willful idea. It has nothing to do with any of that. It is inclusive of so many things, and it spurs reactions, creations, great beauty. And I don't want to call it a God or whatever people want to call it. I simply don't want to do that. It ruins it. Absolutely ruins the whole thing. Our minds are very small, and we're not here to rudiment our mind into the mediocrity of our culture and our society. We're just not here to do that. We're here to elevate. And the only way you can elevate is through meditation. You want to know, Lindsay, about God? You really do? Then meditate. Get comfortable with the silence. Live, move, have your being in quietness. You will find it. Because it isn't lost. It is obvious. It's staring you right in the face. And if you understand what I just said to you, you will awaken to the presence of a love that is far greater than anything you have ever known in your daily living. My mind can only think rudimentary thoughts. My mind can only appreciate what affects its emotionality. But there is something beyond emotionality, intellect. And you can feel it when you get quiet. So silent, so quiet, so at one, that the vibration is absolutely perfect. It is enough. You will feel it. I feel it. My students, they feel it. They know it's there. It is magnificent. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Abraham. That's a beautiful name. If there is a God, Greg, what the hell does he do all day, and what the hell is he doing now? It seems that our world is on the brink of itself. Abraham. I couldn't agree with you more, Abraham. I couldn't agree with you more. If there's someone in charge, that someone is not doing a very good job. And that someone is making this a very difficult situation, to say the least. So I understand what you're saying, tongue in cheek. We want to believe that there is some kind of reason and purpose for our living. But how can there be when we take this life and we carelessly throw it away and give it to our emotions, opinions, beliefs? Have you ever considered that maybe our beliefs are the issue, not God? Maybe it has nothing to do with whatever is out there that is this intelligence. Maybe it has to do with the beliefs I have about that intelligence, that I need to make it human, pedestrian, stupid. And if that is the case, then I need to see that bigger picture. People need a lot of support for a lot of things. Hate and fear being the things they want the most support for. They like to gather together in hatred. They like to gather together in fear. That's why we have church. Church is God-fearing stuff. And people like to gather together in what they think of as love, but it's really not. It's just that they hate the alternative. People go to church trying to believe that there's something greater in themselves and this world than that which they are sensing or feeling. But the truth of the whole situation is there can't be and there isn't because of the way they think. So you're really going to church to affirm your own psyche, neurosis, psychosis, borderline personality disorder, all of the things that go on inside of us. We want to be with people who hate the same things we hate, like the same things we like, and love the same things we think we love. Love is not an emotion. In its truest form, love is the purity of the process that runs this universe. It is a purity. And you can't make it up. You can't look at it and think it's this, it's that. It's not a thing. It's not a this, a that. You can't think it. It is the direct experience that comes out of silence. The depth of a silence that is so powerful that it reveals oneness. In our effort, in our spiritual effort, or mine with my students, it is to discover the source of our oneness and then to live in that source with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. And it is not to be given over to the mind to interpret. That's where we go wrong. We get these inklings of a great love, and where we go wrong is that we have an interpretation of that rather than an insight. And that's where we mess up. Something for you to think about. Something hopefully that will help you. Thank you, Abraham, for your beautiful question. Please, please forgive me. Namaste. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Hope you'll join me. Have a wonderful day. And again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.